Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. My name is Robert and I'm here once again in the car with Matthew.
You are indeed. Good day to you.
And good day to you. We're talking about staying creative. That's when you're working on a story and you're staring at it and it's just not happening for you and you're getting frustrated and you start to procrastinate. What to do, Matthew? What to do indeed?
Yeah, well, it reminds me of a Neil Gaiman quote, and that's really the quote that forms the basis of this episode, isn't it? Neil Gaiman, a couple of years ago, said that the best way to come up with new ideas is to get really bored. And I suppose a question for you, Robert, is do we struggle as humans nowadays to get bored because there's so much technology and we've got all that access to information? Even if we have to wait for 30 seconds on something, your hand automatically goes to your phone and you begin scrolling through Facebook or Twitter or other things like that. So we're not really allowing our minds time to process anything, are we? We're just always, you know, plugged into this source of info whilst ignoring the world around us.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sitting here with a phone in my hand right now because it's got notes. I am reminded of something I saw where there were loads of quotes taken from the 1860s, 1880s, 1900s, 1920s, and they were all the same, like, oh, see, nowadays everyone's rushing around so much, horseless carriages and railway locomotives, and nobody slows down to take in their surroundings anymore and enjoy life. Everyone's in a damned hurry. However, I think that is certainly true, more so nowadays than ever, because there are people going onto meme generators on the internet to talk about how they miss reading books because they don't read books anymore.
Yeah, or like you get those, if you were a child of the 90s when we didn't have the internet, we did this and it's a photo of some kids out playing and you're like, all right, well, you're on the internet to prove this point.
Yeah, and we were all right. We grew up.
If you miss that so much, maybe go out and play.
Yeah.
But remember a former guest on the show who was quite a controversial character. He did divide opinion. A lot of people loved him, a lot of people didn't. But Dan Black, who does the Writer's Life podcast, and I was listening to his show a while back and he made a really good point. He was in a tyre shop getting some tyres for his car, sitting in a waiting room, and he said there was five or six other people there. And not one of them at any point looked up from their phone. So everyone's just sitting on their phones. And he was actually talking about the future of fiction writers, the future of authors. And he was saying that if people are no longer, if anyone there was a writer and they at some point in the future had to write a scene set in a tyre shop, how much would they genuinely know about it? How much of the details would they have taken in? Probably none, because they're not really present in the place, are they? They're not noticing stuff. They're not noticing maybe what the workers are doing or the way the waiting room's set up. And at some point, you might have to write about something like that, or you might have to build a soundscape that conveys a certain environment. And you're just kind of, it's a lot of guesswork. People aren't really noticing these minor details that I think probably writers in the past were a lot better at because they didn't have so much of these distractions.
Yeah, that's right. You often hear about people that write great stories, how they were inspired by some location. Like every time they went to the park, there was this one tree that loomed over the park like some evil beast. And it turns out that was the tree they used in Poltergeist or something. I'm making that up, but it's that kind of thing. Or how many different experiences out there have led to great fiction, and that's not a coincidence. I'm sure that's how it happens. You don't just sit there at your desk and then suddenly you come up with a complicated story. It's all based on what we've seen, heard, touched, tasted, and whatever the other one is, smelled. So if you're not doing those things, if you're not taking in the oily scent in the waiting room at the tire place, or the sound of the machines whirring round as they put tires on and off, or that guy sitting across from you that looks really uncomfortable and you're wondering why, and he's tapping his foot and he's looking nervous, you know, if you're just, you know, eyeball deep in Facebook, you've missed it all.
Yeah, characters are certainly important from that. I think most writers will pull fictional characters from people that they know in real life, maybe famous people or friends or family, or just people that they've observed on a bus or in the pub. And I think we're all guilty nowadays where we're really in our own wee worlds and we're not just sitting back taking it all in. I think as well, is there not something to do with the fact that you're supposed to give your mind a bit of downtime every day? Like the only time we're alone with our thoughts is either when we're asleep or in the shower, usually, isn't it? Because in the shower you can't get your phone in there yet, but I'm sure that will change in the near future.
Yeah.
But it's probably no secret that a lot of people say, oh, I came up with this really good idea in the shower, and you're like, well, obviously, because you weren't distracted by other things, you genuinely were giving your mind time to work its magic at that point.
Yeah.
Even if you were washing your bum.
That's right, yeah. I mean, what happens when you go to sleep at night? You spend 8 hours hallucinating, telling stories to yourself. You know, think about that. That's your brain making sense of the world and imagining scenarios where, imagine if this happened or that happened. And okay, it might freak you out a little bit, but it's your mind making sense of everything. And you need to let your conscious mind do that as well. And not just play through that argument you had and what if I'd said this and that would have shown them, but try to imagine scenarios and conversations between different types of people, you know. Just imagine what you can. But if you are engaged in your technology all the time, it's not going to happen. One of the worst aspects of this for me is that I suffer from this as badly as anyone. And when I do go back to my phone and I look and I check and I check and I check and I look through my timeline on Facebook and I'm thinking, none of this is any good. I don't care about any of this, but I feel like I do. Why do I keep going back to it every 5 minutes? Why do you think that is?
I think it's just a habit, isn't it? Like,
it's an addiction. It's a compulsion by now.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the exact time frame, but it doesn't take very long at all to form a habit.
Hmm.
And if you pull your phone out your pocket every time you have 30 seconds, it's going to quickly become a habit. I think addiction, I'm not an addiction expert, it possibly is, but...
compulsion more than addiction, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's funny because as podcasters and audio dramatists, we often present podcasting and audio dramas as a great way to alleviate boredom, which I think is really important. And it is, you know, I listen to various things throughout the course of the day, whether I'm driving or doing the dishes or things like that. But I think there's also a good case to maybe go for a walk and not actually listen to something. Is that something you do? It's certainly something that I've been trying to do these last few months.
Yeah, for a number of years I've always made sure I've had headphones on me so that I can never spend a moment without something going on in my brain, you know, like if I have to walk anywhere or drive anywhere and I don't like local radio. But most recently, in the past year or two, I've tried deliberately driving with the radio off in the car or not putting headphones in and just allowing my mind to come up with something, like almost daring it, like, right, okay, I'm working on a story right now and I'm a bit stuck with it, so do your best, let's go. And it never fails.
There's also that sort of, I don't know if meditation's the right word, but you know when you're, and we've talked about this so much in the past, it's when you're actually performing tasks, you know, the sort of muscle memory tasks, mm-hmm. that you do. So say you were doing the garden or painting a fence or washing the car or the dishes, it's almost like the manual task, it's freeing up your brain to think creatively rather than, you know, if you're doing something that requires you to put a lot of thought into it. And I've found that doing things like that in the past, that's when I've come up with a lot of good ideas. I think that's a big challenge for me this year. It's going to be the first summer since I was about 15 where I've not been out working throughout the summer doing a lot of manual work, doing a lot of manual labour, and I felt like I was coming up with loads of different ideas during that point because, you know, I was up and walking about, the blood was pumping, I was working hard, but I felt really good mentally. And when you go into a job where it's more about doing the mental work than the physical work, the roles are kind of reversed, and you kind of start thriving for getting that wee bit of exercise and getting out and having some time to think, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's not just important enough to be sitting silently thinking. you need to actually be physically moving as well. And I think you've put it perfectly by saying getting the blood pumping. I don't know if that means your brain needs more blood to be pumping around for you to be creative, or if it's just because you're moving, your brain is engaged somewhat, you know, with motor functions and stuff. So therefore, the rest of it sort of moves along as well. Like, well, if this part of the brain's going at it, I might as well come up with some great story ideas.
Yeah, and I suppose that comes back to what Neil Gaiman was saying, doesn't it? Because I think that a lot of people ask writers like Neil Gaiman, famous writers, like, how do you write? And they're looking for this one-size-fits-all shortcut to writing a book and being a famous author. And there is no shortcut, is there? It's just about creating the circumstances for yourself where your mind could get a bit of breathing space and start working on plots and arcs and characters and pulling a story together without all this constant distraction that we're faced with.
Yeah, one well-known audio producer always talks about the machine, as in his subconscious. I'm sure we've talked about it here before. But rather than focusing on the minutiae of what's going on in the story, like the dialogue, word for word the whole time, maybe just step away from it and think very vaguely about it. Think about the outlines, even just thinking about who the characters are and the kind of things they would say in different situations, they will suddenly start talking to each other without you putting a lot of thought into it. You know, and you just have to trust that if you've got it there in your brain, the scenario that you want to play out, it will play out whether you want it to or not. And all you have to do is go for a walk.
Yeah, I've been... what I'm trying to do at the moment is get at least two walks a week where I'm going out without anything. I've got clothes on, but I've not got my phone with me or an old iPod or anything like that. I'm not even listening to music. And honestly, I really thoroughly recommend doing this. It's just to go out twice a week and walk for half an hour. And I'm not talking about walking through some glamorous countryside. Like some of the walks I'm taking, it's mainly through, like, there's a lot of industrial estates near me. So I'm just walking around like old factories and stuff like that. And I'm in two minds about this because initially what I was doing was I was setting out for these walks with a specific topic or story or something like that in mind. And I was forcing myself to think, okay, during the course of this walk, we're going to work out this short story, or we're going to work out, you know, this or that. I was almost setting an agenda for myself.
Right, that sounds a bit rigid, but I can understand why.
That's the thing, it kind of worked. In fact, it worked pretty well, but on the other hand, I started experimenting with saying, right, let's not set any agendas here. I'm not going to try and specifically think about anything. I'm just going to let my mind wander. And in fact, I seemed to come up with a lot more ideas there, and things would come to me, solving wee problems that I'd been thinking over and stuff like that. So I think it's a really effective way of just getting away from it all just for half an hour. I think we could all find half an hour in our day just to take a walk twice a week. And I feel a lot better for it, you know, physically and mentally.
Oh yeah, let's not discount the exercise side of things, you know. We could all do with a bit more exercise, that's for sure. Especially as we, as a society, progress more towards office-based work. Not everyone, but more so than maybe 30 years ago. I think it's very important that we get that exercise. And, hey, it's not just a waste of time because you're not bored. You're working. That's right, creative people. You're working hard, getting those stories planned out.
And it is, like, you've touched on this already, but when you get out there and you're not distracted by a podcast or a song or anything like that in your ears, you're able to start noticing stuff, taking in sounds, how things sound. That's very important if you're an audio drama producer. You've got to be listening to stuff all the time and finding out these sounds. And sometimes, you know, if it's safe to do so, closing your eyes and just thinking, how does this scene sound? And yeah, noticing things, noticing the way people act, people that pass you by. Maybe you'll overhear a conversation and it'll give you some ideas. We've spoke about that as well, how just the slightest wee bit of dialogue that you hear sometimes could create a scene in your head, and that scene could create a story, and that story could create a series. So it's all about just being a magpie and pulling in these wee bits of info and inspiration and just collecting them, and some of it, you know, you will discard. Most of it you'll probably discard, but some of it will actually turn out to be gold.
Another point as well is the last couple of train journeys I've taken, I've always said to myself, well, what I'll do is I'll take the laptop or I'll take a notepad and I'll do lots of writing on the train. But I don't. I take it and then I end up just sitting there staring out the window or on the phone or whatever. And I think that's because I'm just sat there. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had to walk to London from here, I mean, okay, I'd have enough time to get a lot of stories done. But I think that would make a difference, you know, walking rather than just sitting there commuting or whatever. There's a real difference, certainly for me, between the two. I'll have to make sure I get my walks.
Yeah, so that I think that's just something that, I mean, we've been speaking about this between ourselves for a while now. It's something we definitely felt was valid to bring up on the podcast. And as always, I'd like to hear your thoughts as well. Podcast at audiodramaproduction.com. How do you bore yourself? As listening to this podcast, how you get bored? maybe someone's out there who uses us for that purpose, and that's absolutely fine. Still a download.
Yeah, tell us what story you've come up with while listening to us going on about stories.
So, yeah, it'll be a quicker episode this week. There was just a couple of people I wanted to give a nod to. Mm-hmm. So, our pal Peter from Cornucopia Radio Theatre, they're a group down in Sheffield who I've been a big fan of for a lot of years now. They were sort of one of the first British audio drama groups that I'd came across, and they've got a lot of really good audio drama out there, both funny stuff and really serious stuff. And Peter, who I actually had the pleasure of meeting in Manchester a few months ago, he's pledged to support the show on Patreon and thus joins the ranks of the Knights of the Pledge. So a big thanks to Peter, and we'll put links to his stuff in the show notes at audiodramaproduction.com. And on the subject of the Knights of the Pledge, Michael Hudson, another good friend of ours of Aftermath fame and many other audio dramas, I finally got round to checking out a project that he's been involved in. And it's actually a video series that appears on YouTube. It's called Ren, the Girl with the Mark. And I had a look at it this morning and it's astonishingly well made. This show is, you know, it's a bit like Game of Thrones, I suppose. Mm. It's a sort of fantasy story, and seemingly Michael did a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes there, building sets and running the show's podcast and taking photos and stuff like that. But like I say, this is well worth checking out. I'm not generally the sort of person that could sit at a computer and watch videos on YouTube, but I put this on and it was very engaging, very captivating, so I'd thoroughly recommend that. And again, I'll put links to that in the show notes.
Excellent.
And no pun intended, props to Michael for his work there as well.
Talking of very special projects, we've been quiet on the subject for many months now, but I'm happy to tell you, tentatively, that we are nearing the completion of Season 1 of Valenhai.
The writing, I'm stress.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yes. Yeah, just one or two more sound effects and we're done. No, the first draft of the writing of the first season of Valenhai is nearly done. Steve Schneider and I have been collaborating on this for some time now. Been in communication with each other, I would say, pretty much every day for months. And I'm starting to hate that guy. No, he's all right. We're very excited, actually. We had planned to Skype with you, Matthew, on Sunday, and we'd penciled in that we want the first draft to be finished by then, and I think we have, more or less. There's probably a couple of touches we need to go over, like maybe putting a little bit of narration here and there just to clear up what's going on, or something we want to add, maybe. But I would say we're now finally happy enough for you to have a read over it and see what you think. So, exciting times.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading it. So, you took your time, but I suppose we'll get there in the end, won't we?
Yeah. Oh, it's worth the wait, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, on the subject of Valenhai as well, we are, I don't know if there's ever been a time where I'm going to be comfortable raising this, but we need $3,000 to record Valenhai and make sure that we look after the cast as well.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do a hard sell on this. I don't want to spend a lot of time pushing it. I'm just going to throw it out there. We need $3,000 in US dollars, and there's a page, valenhigh.com/support. You could all the Patreon money through this show is being directed into Valenhigh at the moment, 100% of it, and there's a PayPal donate button on there as well. So if you're feeling generous and you'd like to throw something our way, we'd hugely appreciate it. I'm not going to mention it every week. I'm not going to push it. Yeah. I just want to throw it out there. And whatever we could raise, it'll go towards the show. And hopefully we'll manage to raise the money we need so that we could hire the studios and look after our actors and cover all the other costs as well.
Yeah, so, and it's not really a profit thing, is it?
I mean, not at all.
Not a thousand of it towards expenses.
No, all the money is accounted for.
Yeah.
What I will say, if anyone gives us over $100 before July, so you could do that in a one-hour, or you could do it, you know, in staggered sort of payments on Patreon, you'll have access to any and all Valenhigh episodes before they're released publicly. So you'll get a higher quality copy of one of these episodes, well, all of these episodes, and you'll get it before it goes out on iTunes and the normal feed that the peasants are using.
Yeah.
So, like I say, we're not going to push it, but, you know, if anyone's got some money and wants to give it to us, we'll do anything for you, clothed or unclothed.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm pretty flexible in not that sense, but I mean, it's worth stressing as well that the money will go towards like decent recording environments, getting all the actors into one place to record them together, as opposed to recording remotely. Because, you know, people will be thinking, well, what's the money for? How come you've been able to make audio drama before now and you didn't need $3,000? But genuinely, we do. We've added all the costs up. We want to, as you say, Matthew, look after the actors, give them a little something for towards their travelling costs, even staying over if that's going to be the case.
People need fed, people need watered, and
we
spoke about before, we're moving out our comfort zone doing something like this. It's not something we've done before, and we're just trying to do as best we can with the limited knowledge that we have, I suppose.
Yeah, so, and it's literally the biggest project of our media lives, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
And we've got a good chance of making something that's respectable, I think. And if you'd like to be a part of that by helping us in any small way, we would genuinely love you until the end of time.
Yeah, so I feel quite dirty, like we've begged a wee bit there, but it had to be done.
Well, can I recommend a Diet Coke? It's around about now in the day when I have one, you see, and it helps me to stay on top of things and part of a balanced lifestyle.
All right then, well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Audio Drama Production Podcast. Hopefully you've taken something from it, and we look forward to catching up with you in a week or two's time, depending on what's on the show next week. I'm not too sure yet. Any ideas, drop me a line. You might get us before we make plans, so you know where to find us.
Yeah, and any thoughts at all, get in touch. We don't care what it's about. It can literally be about TV. We don't care. Well, I'll talk to you about TV. Matthew probably won't. And in the meantime, keep your eyes off your phone for 5 minutes a day and keep watching the skies.